I spoke to Rosh Hashanah, and we still haven't decided what Masechta you're going to do next month. Looking at such a siyum, I'm being encouraged to learn Masechta's Edius with Shalom Meir, seeing the shortest Masechta, and we get such a breakfast again. It's a very, very interesting parasha, and in fact, in Chutz Aretz, it's Parshas Bolok, when there's a Shalom doing Parshas Pinchos, and trying to connect it with a siyum. I thought it would be a struggle, but there really is no more appropriate Masechta than this. What's fascinating is that Parshas Bolok begins in a very fascinating way, and it ends in a very, very strange way. The Parsha talks about where Klal Yisrael, Rachman Litzlan, did a terrible, terrible Avera, and it is Nus with Benos Moyov, and there's a Magefa, and there's 24,000 people dying in this Magefa. 24,000 people dying in this Magefa. And it doesn't stop. In fact, it gets worse. We have the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, the most powerful force who stands up against human rights and who stands up against anything that's wrong. And he, from all, everybody, he stands up and does Nus b'fa Hesi in front of Klal Yisrael, and he does a terrible Chil HaShem, and things are going spinning out of control. Pinchos ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen stands up and he takes Remach b'yodoi and he stabs them both. The parasha finishes off, and 24,000 people die from the Magefa. Gevaldi, Kaddish, and you go home and have a nice lunch, and you're Mazel Tov, very good. How can you end the parasha off like that? How can you end the parasha? The Gemara never ends off with a dovah, what they call it, a dovah shepapronusa. You always end off with something nice. And you end up with something nice. How can a parasha end off? And 24,000 people died from the Magefa. We happen to know, if you wait till Mincha, there he gets his schar. But why does a parasha end off in such an abrupt way, such an inappropriate way, such a sad way, and we have to wait sort of till the next parasha, till Shabbos Mincha, if you're lucky, or maybe till Monday or Thursday or next Shabbos, to actually hear the schar of the person who went ahead and did such a courageous and supernatural act. There's one other place, by the way, where you do find this in the Torah. And that as well is something which is unusual. And that is a case where Yosef HaTzadik sits in jail and he does his very, very best with Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, and he encourages people and he works with people and he looks out for other people, which is totally against what one generally do, looking for self-preservation. And the parasha ends off that he, Tzar HaMashgin, he asked him to please put through his message for him. The parasha ends off and he forgot about him. That's it. Ends off the parasha. Yosef is stuck in this terrible, terrible predicament in this pit in the middle of it in medieval Egypt. Who knows what was going on there? He forgot about him. Shkoyach, Kaddish, Kiddish, off you go. You don't hear anything. Next parasha. Then things develop. Why is it that again the parasha leaves us in this state of unknowing what's going to happen, in a state of Chil Hashem to an extent, in a state of hest upon him for those few hours until we find out what's going on in the next parasha? And we should learn each year the parasha anew. We should know the story from last time, otherwise it spoils the storyline, right? So why does the parasha do that? Furthermore, the pasuk says, Pinchos ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen heishiv es chamosi ba bnei Yisrael bekanoi es kenosi besoicham v'lo yichalis es bnei Yisrael es kenosi l'chein emo nehin l'yisrael v'heis lo yilzarib achrob bris kuhunas oilom v'l be a kuhuna forever tachas asher kinele lekov v'yechape al bnei Yisrael, and he will do kapora for Klal Yisrael. V'yechape is in future tense. He will be mechape. So the Mefarshim explain, Vayechape lo ne'ema, says the Yalkut, Vayechape al-Bnei Yisrael, Vayechape lo ne'ema, Elo Vayechape, Shad achshov lo yizoz, Elo oimeid u'mechape asher yichya ha-meisim. Pinchos has a job to do, and he did not give up his schar then. Pinchos has a job to stand up and be mechape for Klal Yisrael forever and ever. Says the Mefarshim, Zayis Rana brings down, that this works very well with the concept that Pinchos became Eliyahu HaNavi. And as you know, Eliyahu HaNavi was never Toyim Tam Misa. Check it out, Pripolitsky. Zayis Ranon. Yeah? He says he's Eliyahu HaNavi and Eloi Toyim Tam Misa. And therefore this is idea, the concept over here of Vayichape, which means he never died. So part of Pinchas ben Elazar, when Aaron HaKoyen's thing, they became a Koyen and he got Bris Kuhuna, that was a very, very wonderful thing. But he never ever died. Leitom Tam Misa. What kind of schar is that? Why did he get that schar more than anybody else in history? Moshe Rabbeinu did wonderful things, Avraham Avinu did wonderful things, Yitzchak Yaakov. Why dafka was it that Pinchas ben Elazar got this unbelievable bracha that he should never die? Why was it? What was so special about that? It says by the Akedah of Yitzchak, it says, Vayikach v'yodoy es ha'esh v'es ha'ma'acheles. What's a ma'acheles? Dor shel Chazal, ma'acheles is a loshen, nikras ma'acheles al-shem she'yisrol o'icheles matan tzvoro. Ma'acheles means it's given to eat. In other words, we, for all future generations, we're taking of the schar of what Yitzchak and Avraham Avinu did by the Akedah. Ma'acheles. And it's obviously the times where we need it the most, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we must hear the Akedah, and that is something that stays on forever. Why is it that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave this koyach of Mesiras Nefesh, of Avraham Avinu, that it should go beyond a generation, it shouldn't lose its potency, it shouldn't lose its koyach, it should carry on from generation to generation. And very bekitzer, very, very bekitzer. Mesiras Nefesh is something that is earned. It's something that we deserve. If we put in Mesiras Nefesh, if we do something that is what we'd call supernatural, going beyond ourselves, going beyond the physical world of who we are, then we deserve to be trusted by Kodesh Baruch Hu. We deserve to earn while Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us something which is beyond what he'd usually give in this world of nature. We deserve to be treated in the way that goes beyond Midas HaDin, goes beyond the normal Midas HaRachamim, and we deserve to be treated in a way that is considered supernatural. Mesiras Nefesh is worked as a middah keneged middah. If we go beyond ourselves and push ourselves to a level that is not us, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to a level that is kaviyachol not him, not the way he usually runs the world. If Avraham Avinu has a child, he waited for 100 years, and he takes him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go and shecht him, shecht your future, shecht your ideology, shecht who you are, shecht Klal Yisrael. And he v'yashkim Avraham Baboyke, and he gets up and does it with enthusiasm, and does it with zrizus. He does it, that Mesiras Nefesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, how can I possibly treat Klal Yisrael, your children, in the same way that I usually treat them? They deserve, they've earned Mesiras Nefesh, they've earned to be treated differently. Ma'acheles, it's something that feeds us for generation to generation. We're not confined by time anymore. Time is nature. When somebody works beyond nature, somebody works beyond himself, then time is not something that's going to cap it. We work beyond time. And therefore this is going to be supernatural going to last from generation to generation. Let's go back to the story. 24,000 people died. Shimon, the Nossi of Shevet Shimon, does Nus b'Fahesia. It was terrible. It was out of control. And the parasha does not say anything's about to stop. It does not say anywhere that 24,000 people dying is going to in any way shake people up. It didn't say that it's going to stop because of that. In fact, the yeyush, the despair that went into the Klal Yisrael when they saw that it was out of control, where even a Nossi, a rabbi, can misbehave. A rabbi, a Nossi, can misbehave. In such a world, what chance do they have? In fact, that they looked around themselves and they said, only a few years back we received the Torah. Were we correct to receive the Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all the different umos, and he asked them, ask Yishmol, what about receiving the Torah? No, what does it say inside it? Lei Sirtzoch. Can't possibly do that. That's on our charter. They asked all the different nations, what? We can't. So Klal Yisrael said, we were stupid enough to say Nasiv and Nishma. Maybe you should have thought first, maybe you should have intellectualized it, maybe you should have asked questions, maybe you should have found out what was going on. And now we have a situation where things are going out of control. We can live in a little neighborhood. We can live in Volozhno in Radin. But we can live in a Dora Midbar. When we have outside influences though, when things are coming and bombarding us on the outside, can we stand up and say, we are not going to do this. We are not going to follow our urge. We are not going to do what is natural. We're smitten by this, Cupid. Right? Can we stand up and do that? And they said, no, we can't. It's not Shaykh. We made a mistake. And then from outside came an anonymous person who never made it to Kahuna. A person who was not looked upon as anything special at all. A young man from the Kehillah. And he stood up and took a Reimach Biyodo and said, Rabbeisai, watch me. And they watched him. And the Reimach, by the way, is underneath these things. And he's walking into the Kuba. And they thought, oh, he's joining in. Rachmana Litzlan, we've lost another good man. But listen, that's today's generation. What can we do? We have internet, we have iPhone. What can we do? As the generation we have today, we have no choice. What can we do? What can we possibly do? And he went there. And he took the Reimach and he murdered two people with Nissim and Iflois and took them out. And he said, Rabbeisai, I'm telling you this right now. This is not about stopping two people from doing Znus. This is showing that a human being, a poshut person like me, can stand up against the world, can stand up against the natural urges, can stand up against what everyone feels is too much for them. It's too much. We're living in the sun. How can we possibly do it? We can do it. Stop. Stop. I can do it. You can do it. Everyone can do it. Stop. And it stopped. Says Rizna Torah, what 24,000 deaths couldn't do, Pinchas ben Lozov and Aaron HaKohen could do. When 24,000 people died, it was sad, but it's still, how can you possibly stand up? Pinchas ben Lozov and Aaron HaKohen stood up and he said, Rabbeisai, I'm like you, I'm not any more special, and I can do it. You can do it too. And that's what stopped them. And that Mesiras Nefesh, it wasn't a massive Mesiras Nefesh, to an extent that he should save Tanz Klal Yisrael. But it's a small effort for Mesiras Nefesh to stand up and say, stop, this is not what should be done. I've got to do what Ratzon Hashem is what ultimately saved a generation. That supernatural, that koichus that he had, to do what he did, created a man who cannot possibly die. Somebody who can make that Mesiras Nefesh, and to make himself part of who he is, he can't possibly die. It's a very interesting vod I saw, that it's brought down that Pinchas never died. Where is it mashma in the mashmois of the words of that he got that schar that he never died? So Vayichaper is one vod, fine. But it says Brisi Sholim. What's Brisi Sholim? He said, you speak to any engineer, you speak to any person who, I think Rachmiller would agree with me, a person who works with machines. The only reason why machines break down, they start off very good from the factory, they're designed by German factories, and they're precisioned and they're checked, and they go for 5, 6, 10, 15 years, and all of a sudden, bang, the machine breaks down. Why is that? Because there's something of friction. There's movement over there, there's friction on the machine, and that wears it down. And eventually, it wears down to the extent that the machine breaks. He said, what happens with a person, with a human being? There's an element of a human being that there's friction. My Yetzer Hara says one thing, my Yetzer Tov says something else. My Yetzer Tov says something else, my Yetzer Hara says no. And it's friction. And eventually it wears you down. And that's why a person eventually dies. When a person is Brisi Sholim, when a person is whole, when a person knows what his Avodah is, when a person knows who he should be, then there is no friction, not physically and not spiritually. There's no friction. That machine can last forever and ever. You know, they get these machines now, these drying machines that float. I don't know, there's no friction. Why? And therefore, Pinchas had no friction. There's no reason why he should die, because he didn't have this pull and push. He knows, I'm kulei for Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There's no friction anymore. That is a koyach of Mesiras Nefesh. That is a koyach that Avraham Avinu's schus can last for generations. That is a koyach that Pinchas can stand up and he can live forever and ever because of Mesiras Nefesh. But unfortunately, Mesiras Nefesh has a price. And that price is Mesiras Nefesh. It's Mesiras Nefesh. It has a price. What's Peshat? Mesiras Nefesh is not easy. And Mesiras Nefesh has to be that a person does not see the schar in front of him when he's about to do it. He does not see the gain. All he sees is the pain. That is Mesiras Nefesh. If a person knew that he's going to get a $1 million check after he's Moisa Nefesh not to yell at his wife, he wouldn't yell at his wife. If a person knew that if a person goes in a plane, he's willing to fly across the world, hiding himself in a lavatory, because he knows there's no seats on the plane, but he's eventually going to get $10 million contract. He's willing to do it. He's happy. He's quite happy to sit there. And here's the smells of food coming out, and he's quite happy to sit there. If a person knew what Mesiras Nefesh brings, it will not be Mesiras Nefesh. That's why in this parasha of Parshas Balak, Pinchas had to see what had to be done has to be done. I see no gain, I see no reward, but I've got to do what I have to do. All I have to do is I've got to make sure these 24,000 people know Derech Hashem. I've got to do 24,000 people die. It's done. That's past. We have a new beginning now called Mesiras Nefesh. We're going to stand up against Yetzer Hara. End of the parasha. End of the parasha. That's it. Mesiras Nefesh means you've got to do what you have to do. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you understood Mesiras Nefesh properly. Let me tell you, don't worry. You'll get rewarded for it. Pinchas ben laws of an Aaron Kain Heshavas Chavosim Abin Yisrael Vakalis Milis. Then you get the schar, and then you get all the gain. But you have to be willing to put the pain in before the gain. Yosef Atzadik is in Mitzrayim, and he's Moisa Nefesh, and he's Moisa Nefesh not to do the veira with Ashes Potiphar, and he was put into the jail, and he looks out for people, and Dvar Hashem everywhere he goes. And Vayishkacheyu is Mesiras Nefesh. That's it. Mesiras Nefesh. Yes. Understand Mesiras Nefesh is good. By the way, next week's parasha. Next week's parasha is a parasha of Himikates Rishon Tassayim Yomach, which Baruch Hu puts a dream and everything works out okay. Mesiras Nefesh has to be where a person is willing to put in the work and not be willing necessarily to see it again. I heard a Murray Digger Meisa. I heard it from my dear friend Reb Nussbacher, who heard it from the grandchild of the story it happened to. Reb Aaron Kotler, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kodesh Shivrocha, sent over a young man from America to go to the DP camps in Europe and asked him to ensure that the boys over there, the young yeshiva boys, have the status of a rabbinical student, because that way they'll be able to get visas to America. If they get stuck there, who knows what will happen. So this man's wife was not happy at all about it. Who knows what's going on in DP camps? Who knows what's going on? We've still got rogue armies running around. She wasn't happy about it. And Aaron said, I promise you, this Mesiras Nefesh will look after him. He should go. And he went to the DP camps, and he was successful. He was successful of convincing the people there that these are all rabbinical students, and he managed to provide visas for 430 boys who eventually moved to America. And he's on his way back to the airport. His wife phones back hysterically, Rebbe Aaron, a few hours later. And he says, Rebbe, how dare you? He said, I'm sorry, I've got to share now. I put down the phone. She picked up the phone. Rebbe, how dare you? He said, what do you want? I'm not giving you share. What do you want so urgent? I can't speak to you now. Rebbe, you have to speak to me now. How dare you? So what? What's the matter? He said, you promised me, Mesiras Nefesh. You promised me that everything's going to go well. You know what happened to that plane? Have you heard the news? So no, I haven't heard the news. The plane crashed. Where's the Mesiras Nefesh? What are you promising us? How dare you? So Rebbe Aaron Kotler said, your husband's not on that plane. He put the phone down. So she phones back up. She says, Rebbe Aaron, not only are you a shakran, you're a meshugana as well. Rebbe Aaron says, no, I'm not a shakran, I'm not a meshugana. Your husband did not get on the plane. Fine, he puts the phone down again. And she is going frantic. The maitzah, you don't hear anything from the husband. For 6 hours, 12 hours, a day, 2 days. People are going crazy. He didn't have the whole names of lists of the way it's organized today. What happened was, very simply, the husband missed a flight. And instead of getting a different flight to New York, he couldn't make it to New York. They couldn't put a new flight to New York. He went to Chicago instead. And the time he got off the plane, he was so exhausted because they moved him over to Chicago and all the hullabaloo of all the flights. He went to sleep in the hotel they gave him to catch another flight. He fell asleep for 12 hours. And when he woke up, he phoned his wife up. And he said, I'm so sorry, I missed a flight and I'm going to be back home soon. What's the moral of that story? The moral of that story is that for him, there's a tremendous message. But for this woman, she forgot about her husband. She saw she's never going to get him back. She saw a situation where people died, but there's nothing really going to happen. But Aaron, with the Koyach HaTorah, with his knowledge, knew there's no such thing as Mesiras Nefesh not being paid. You have to wait a little bit longer. I know better than you. I'm telling you, your husband missed a flight. That is a Koyach of Mesiras Nefesh. What is a Koyach of Asim? And I'll finish with this. What's a Koyach of Asim? Very nice. We finish the Masechta. We have a nice party and its completion. What is a Koyach of a Siyum? Rishon often says, why is it that by a Siyum of a small, we make a Siyum of a short Masechta? 30 daf, 50 daf, 60 daf. But if we learn 150 daf of Baba Basi, don't make a Siyum. Why not? So there is, of course, an element of Shlemus. But what I'd like to say is that a Siyum is much more than just completing something. Siyum is the Mesiras Nefesh. In every Masechta, the daffin that you enjoy, and the daffin that you prefer to skip. And you do a different Masechta, To learn every single daff, and to go through, because that is Ratzon Hashem, that deserves a Siyum. That deserves something, a celebration, because this is living beyond. This is living beyond ourselves. This is something that deserves to be celebrated. I really believe that the Siyum today is most appropriate to be done the Ilan Nishmas of a Reuven Osher ben Rabbi Shua. And Mitzvah Shrocha Lefonov, Shalomei finished the Siyam, and a Yashikoyach to him, but a tremendous Yashikoyach to his wife. And then it's Yashikoyach to a man who I don't know, probably was a person who lived in New Zealand, who didn't necessarily have a tremendous kesher with Torah, but imbibed Jewish values and imbibed a responsibility to do what's right and Mesiras Nefesh into a family, and that allows a wife to allow her husband to go out day after day. Every day he's waiting there, just before three, a little bit after three sometimes, and I'll fetch Shalom Meir. This is not a mass seam. This is not Madison Garden Square. This is Avram that inspires people to continue to do their own little levels of Mesiras Nefesh, to live beyond themselves, to create an environment that we're willing to do more than what everyone else does around us. Everyone else has this, we don't have to have this. Everyone doesn't do this, we do this. We inspire, we ignite, we hope, Be'ezus Hashem, that this seam will be one of many, many siyumim, where the Mesiras Nefesh of this year will live forever and ever, and Be'ezus Hashem will all be inspired to do matters and to learn more that is beyond ourselves. Allah will give very, very big yashar koyach to those people who mamash Mesiras Nefesh, to Rav Shur, to Rav Rulitsky, to Rav Grosnas, to Rav Jacobson, to the other Rabbeim, Rav Kaplan, to Rav Zelig, who have been Mesiras Nefesh year after year after year after year after year after year to come. They don't think they're being paid the best, and I don't think it's the easiest to teach. And they've done this because they believe this is the right place to be. I don't have the easiest Talmidim. But this is the right place to be, and this is Mesiras Nefesh that has kept this place going. It is an honor and a privilege to be part of this institution, and I give you all Yashar Koyach very, very much for helping us build this place. Thank you to the Rav. Thank you to those who organized the Siyam. Yashar Koyach Gadol.